just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Monday. It's a big day. This is the first day of Donald Trump's criminal trial in the Manhattan District. Now, I'm recording this about 10 o'clock last night. So unless something crazy's happened between now and then, the trial's going to start. I'm sure he's going to try to pull out some things at the last minute. Nothing has worked up to this point. He's tried 12 times. It's failed 12 times. Even if he does try again this morning, it's likely to not work. He's going on trial whether he likes it or not, and it's going to be a problem for him. First of all, he is most certainly going to get convicted, and there's going to be a lot of information revealed in evidence and in witnesses that's going to be embarrassing for Donald Trump. And that is the absolute worst thing you can do to a narcissist, especially one to the level of Donald Trump. So the next couple of months are going to be painful for Donald Trump, and I think we're all happy about that. You know, they start out with picking the jury. Now, in the court case where they were prosecuting Donald Trump's company, the Trump Organization, that took a week to do the jury selection. This might take a little longer, could maybe even be 2 weeks, but trust, it's happening, and Donald Trump is going to finally be accountable. Of course, we'll talk more about that, given today is the day and this is the podcast. We'll talk more about it in a bit. But first, we have some emails, as we commonly do. First one comes from Carrie. She says, good morning, Mike. I follow you on TikTok and your podcast. I am reassured by what you speak about. You're a cool head in political times that are drenched in hate. My question is this. Two Scoops Diaper Donnie is not a politician, and yet he dictates to Republicans that he wants what he wants, and they do it. What the hell? How does his mentality challenged giant orange baby man control what bills go through? My mind is boggled. It's like a four-year-old child is running the Repulsicans, Kerry. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, Donald Trump couldn't control shit if it wasn't for the Republicans allowing him to do it. Why they allow him to do it, I'm not altogether sure. Are they afraid of him? Are they afraid of his followers? I mean, his followers are starting to diminish now. There's got to come a breaking point where you just don't care. And I think it's coming soon. I think once he gets a conviction, that's going to be a breaking point, which seems ridiculous. That breaking point should have came 4 years ago, but still to no avail. Donald Trump just says whatever the hell he says, and these Republicans jump. It's not Donald Trump controlling it. These Republicans could ignore it and just do their job, but they insist on following Donald Trump's lead. Early on, I could explain it because Donald Trump was their Lord and Savior, but now he's nothing but a failure. I can't understand why they do it. It is a quandary for me, to say the least. Thank you, Kerry. All right, this one comes from M. Found your podcast a couple of days ago, and I continue to enjoy it. Proud to be a 75-year-old boomer. Thanks for your dropping the baby part. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you very much, Em. 75 years old. You're 11 years older than me. Tomorrow is my 64th birthday. I'll be honest with you. I don't get too excited about birthdays after 64 years. It's just another day, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm getting older, and I don't know that that's a positive. I'm more excited about my granddaughter's birthday, which is coming up April 26th. We're having a party April 28th. It's going to be a super kitty party. Alona set a kitty hat for my granddaughter. It's going to be awesome, and I'm excited about that. As you're listening to this podcast and as the trial is starting, I'm probably in the air. I'm on a plane traveling to Savannah, as my wife and I commonly do. And I'm a little concerned by that because there might be some things popping off at the start of this trial that I won't hear until I get off the plane sometime around 10 o'clock my time, 11 o'clock Eastern time. So I'm hoping nothing crazy happens because I'm going to have to play catch up when I finally get off the plane. And I will tell you the podcast and the TikToks will come out normally. It'll just be in a different location. So don't worry about that. I won't leave you hanging. And thank you very much, Em, for that that comment. All right. The next one says, "Hi, Mike. I have an important message for all Republicans out there. With the resurgence of such terrorist groups as ISIS, Hamas, and Houthis in Yemen, and many, many more, the Republicans should never rely on international medias such as the BBC, French Inter, Der Spiegel, and even American media outlets to assess what is actually happening around the world. Of course, it's fake news, a hoax, a witch hunt, all to undermine the benevolent Donald J. Trump. Only real Republicans know, of course, that between 2016 and 2020, Donald Trump himself has more than successfully eradicated for good, like he said he would, all those terrorist groups, and then gave the world the only 4 years of peace in the 21st century. Panzer. Panzer's got a bit of sarcasm in him, and I like it. I like it. Yeah, the Republicans are certainly misinformed, to say the least. That along with being stupid, doesn't help matters much either. Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing. I always get these Trumplefucks coming to me. There were no wars when Donald Trump was in office. Oh, yeah, there was. We were in Afghanistan, fucker. We were in Afghanistan, and they didn't get out of Afghanistan until Donald Trump got out of office and Joe Biden did it. Because he's a pussy-ass bitch. He didn't have the courage to do it. He thought it might hurt his re-election. Yeah, the Trumplefucks just make shit up. And they listen to what Donald Trump says, and we know Donald Trump is a pathological liar, so what the fuck? All right, thank you, Panzer. Always enjoy the sarcasm. Next one up is Jean. All right, she says, "I'm not so worried about the Capitol after the election. I'm more worried about our power grid. They have shot out power stations in small cities." Yeah, I know. That was a thing for a while. People would go and shoot at the power stations, and there would be a drop in electricity in these smaller areas. What you have to understand is these Trumplefucks aren't organized. The only way they were able to pull anything off at the Capitol in 21 was because they had people in Congress, people that were higher up that had money and had influence that were able to coordinate this for them. These people aren't in a position to do that anymore because they might be indicted, and they're certainly not going to put their ass on the line again. They don't have the coordination. There might be some various and sundry people shooting at stupid things. There's going to be those lone gunmen and that sort of shit. That's a possibility, but I don't think you're going to see any organized attack of any kind because a lot of those motherfuckers are currently in jail. The other motherfuckers are scared that it's a trap and they're going to get put in jail, and they'd be right about that. And they just don't have the courage. As I've said about bullies before, bullies only attack when they know they can win. When there's any question about it, they don't take a chance because they're cowards. And now with Joe Biden in the presidency and Donald Trump on his ass in Mar-a-Lago, that changes everything. They need the National Guard. Joe will call them in right away and say, do whatever you have to do. They don't have Donald Trump holding back the National Guard anymore. They know this. And they don't have the courage to go against the National Guard without them being held back. All right. Thank you, Gene. Next one. Good afternoon. Just wanted to pass on a couple of thoughts on what the first order of business for the Dems the day after their upcoming large majority in Congress is in place. The few Republicans that survive the inevitable tsunami will, of course, object to Biden's certification. So they should pass legislation stating objection to a specific state's certification is restricted to representatives and senators from that specific state. Hopefully this would drastically curtail the Republicans' theatrics. Instead of codifying Roe v. Wade, they should pass a bill stating no government has the legal, moral, or ethical mandate to enact any law that interferes with any medical decisions between patients and their healthcare professional. I like that. This, of course, would include reproductive health care and also cover gender affirmation care and take away most of the objection points from the right, as it does specifically mention abortion or gender care. Stephanie, I think those are good suggestions, and let's hope somebody has that in mind. All right, the next one says, Mike, I had to share this with you because I'm not sure there's anybody else in the world who would be more excited about this than you. As I'm sure you know, DJT, which is what Trump's social media site is trading on the stock market as, has dropped significantly. Well, since all that man does is lose, I took this opportunity to bet against him. I bought some put options on his stock, essentially short selling, similar to what happened with GameStop. Long story short, I made thousands of dollars of betting against Donald Trump. There is a level of gratification that comes from that, which I cannot put into words. I'm going to continue doing this because that stock price is only going to continue to drop. I'm definitely not a financial advisor, but I reached out to every person I know who trades stocks and told them they should do this, and I would highly recommend it to anyone listening here. This is a meme and a complete joke, just like the man himself. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, but if people like to make money off this idiot, I would highly recommend it. I have never enjoyed making money more. All of those ribeye steaks I got for every indictment now have been paid for tenfold. Ha ha. Fuck that guy is what I'm screaming all the way to the bank. Dennis. Well, that is awesome, Dennis, and you're right. I do appreciate that. I'm not a stock trader. I don't invest like that, so I'm kind of familiar with a put is, but I don't really know. I don't really have investments in the stock market, so I'm not one to do that, but if you are one of those folks, you may want to consider what Dennis is suggesting. If you make thousands of bucks betting on Donald Trump losing, that's a pretty fucking solid bet. That's all Donald Trump does is lose. Donald Trump is doing nothing but losing money on this stock. All right. Thank you, Dennis. Hi, Boomer. I think that you should be called Rational Cusper. Rational Cusper. Because you're awfully close to the cutoff date. But if you consider yourself a boomer, then I respect that. I'm Gen X, and you're closer to my oldest sister's age than my boomer parents are. Yeah, that's true. The technical range for boomers is 1946 to 1964. I was born in 1960. My brother born in 1961. We are technically boomers, but we are closer to Gen X. And that may be why my mentality is a little different than some other boomers. I've got the Gen Xers and the boomers, and I've kind of combined. I get input from both sides, and maybe that's why mine's maybe a little more balanced between the two. He goes on to say, I really enjoyed your TikTok videos and was pleased to learn that you have a podcast. So I just started listening this week. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and your dry humor. I was cracking up listening to your description of Kevin McCarthy. I don't even remember what I said. Curious if you read Heather Cox Richardson's writings on Facebook. I think I talked about this before. I do get an email from her. I got to say, I don't read it much. I'm usually looking for quick information and then digging out the facts on whatever story I'm talking about. But I will take a look at it. I've had a number of people tell me she does some great stuff, so it'd be worth the look. I'll be on the plane today. Maybe I'll just take that time to do that. She goes on to say she's an historian who has been writing daily synopsises since Trump's first impeachment hearings. She's kept me sane throughout the craziness that surrounds Trump's shit show. Just wanted to say hi and thanks. Also, I honestly don't remember ever looking forward to a Monday as much as I am looking forward to Monday, April 15th. It's here. It's today. Not only a Monday, but a tax day, and I cannot wait. He's finally going to get his comeuppance. God bless America. Sincerely, Gabriel. Thank you, Gabriel. Now, see what happened there? You start listening to the podcast, you send the email, and you're on the next fucking podcast. That's the way it works. We like the input from the listeners, whether you're new or old, it doesn't matter. If you're of a like mind, we want to hear what you have to say. So, Gabriel, thank you, and I hope we hear more from you. All right. The next one says, hi, Mike. My sister turned me on to your podcast, and I look forward to listening every day. It amazes me how much your view of shithead Trump is so similar to how I feel. I was saying this since he first started to run in 2016. I could go on and on about Trump and how much of a piece of shit he is. I get tired of these Trumpler fucks always complaining about the economy. I always tell people when Trump became president, he inherited a strong economy that was growing. Yes, he did. And the only thing he ever did was for the rich by giving them a huge tax cut and cut regulations. He couldn't even handle COVID, which cuts tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people's lives in the U.S. I'll correct you there. A million people in the U.S., which only ended up impacting the U.S. economy. But of course, he will never admit to that. No, he'll never admit to anything. You mentioned in your show on Sunday, Biden came in with a plan that saved people and opened up the economy quicker than any other economy in the world. As we know, Biden inherited an economy that was crap and turned it around and made it stronger than it's ever been in only 3 years. I always tell people when they complain about inflation that the president has nothing to do with the inflation or gas prices going up. I always tell them to educate themselves before watching Fox News or some other conservative television station. When I ask these people what is so wrong with Biden, they always turn to the illegals coming into this country at the border. I tell them that there was a plan established by a very conservative Republican senator, but because shithead Trump told the maggots in the House not to pass the bill, so he has it to run on. It's also funny that you don't hear them talking about the border crisis as much anymore, with him heading to court as well as the abortion issue. Yeah, they're not talking about the border thing because they're just going to throw in their face that we had a border bill. It was a bipartisan border bill. It was very restrictive. It was the most restrictive of any in the history of this country. And you guys voted against it. It's a little hard to blame Joe Biden when you shut down a border bill that would have done everything you wanted to do. The Republicans are shitting themselves, and now the border issue is not as big an issue. Funny how that works. Thanks, Mike. Keep up the great work. Oliver from Massachusetts. Thank you, Oliver. Got another new listener. I love that. Next one comes from Sherry. She says, hi, Mike. Today is my birthday, and you have mentioned yours is Tuesday. I have a feeling we will both be celebrating on Monday, considering the gift we're getting from Alvin Bragg. So happy birthday, Sherry. And happy birthday to you, Sherry. Thank you for chiming in. All right, this one comes from Abel. This podcast is in line with my political philosophy for the most part. I'm liberal, but I'm also a conservative. Therefore, I listen often. Good listening. That was sent on the podcast page. That wasn't an email. And I want to remind folks, if you're putting things on the podcast page, that's fine, but you're kind of limited of what you can write. So I always encourage people to send an email at the very least, and you can do that at rationalboomer@gmail.com. rationalboomer@gmail.com. We're always welcoming of all emails. I try to read every one of them. I think I'm doing pretty well with that. I think we get every one of them. To me, the emails are paramount in this show. We need the input of the listeners as well as whatever bullshit I'm going to say. So I'm always welcoming of the emails. And as I've said before, I like having the listeners on the show too. I don't want to have people trying to pimp a podcast or a book or something like that. I mean, if they're appropriate and they're good, I will have them on. But, you know, I get emails all the time. Hey, I've got a guy who wrote a book about boomers. He'd be perfect for your show. No, he wouldn't. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Rational Boomer is just the title of the podcast. It's not about boomers per se, because we got people out here that don't fall in between the time frame of 1946 and 1964. So you wouldn't be baby boomers, but you would be rational boomers, because we're here. We're of a like mind. We're bouncing ideas off of one another, and we're putting shit out in the narrative so we can have some impact on the future of this country. All right. As I said, we've got a big day today. Donald Trump's got his criminal trial starting today, and by the time you listen to the podcast, it may have already started. The thing about it is that there's going to be a week or two of jury selection. So there will be no opening arguments or arguments of any kind for at least a week to 2 weeks. But that's okay, because Donald Trump has to sit in that fucking seat all day when they're trying to pick the jury. And he's going to hear some things he doesn't like, and he's going to make faces and make sounds. And I think that Judge Marchand is not going to tolerate much of it. I'm interested to see what he says when Donald walks into the court today, because Donald Trump clearly has violated the gag order. And I have a feeling that Judge Marchand is going to have a little, at the very least, a reprimand and a warning for him when he gets in there today. Donnie Trump will not like that. So I think that'll be fun. You know, it's funny. The Republicans always talk about the 2020 election. Oh, it was a fraudulent election. Donald Trump still won. Joe Biden stole the election. You know what's ironic about that? It's looking like that, in fact, 2020 was not stolen, but 2016 might have. And it's all part and parcel to this situation with this trial, because a lot of people say it's hush money to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal and all of that stuff. But there's really more to it. It's about election interference. It's about Donald Trump trying to cover up a news story prior to election so it doesn't hurt him. That is about election interference, and that is a problem. When you think about 2016, if he's found guilty of election interference, and then you couple in with that the fact that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election to the benefit of Donald Trump, and we know this is true, this has been proven, you have to really question the validity of the 2016 election. Of course, we're not whining about it. That's old news, and all we can do is worry about the future. It's just ironic to me that they're bitching about 2020 and there's no evidence or witnesses. But 2016 is just 2 months away from being proven it was fraud committed by Donald Trump and the Republicans. It's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Now, while the hush money case has become the shorthand to describe Trump's first of four criminal trials, particularly among Trump defenders who wish to diminish it, that it is not how it will be described to prospective jurors. Monday, today, at the scheduled start of the jury selection, Judge Juan Marchand's first sentence of a 223-word summary describing the case to the jurors. The allegations are, in substance, that Donald Trump falsified business records to conceal an agreement with others to unlawfully influence the 2016 presidential election. See what I mean? That's a little more serious than him paying off a porn star. There's more to it. It's more about the election, and that's where the felonies come into play. Now, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who brought the 34-count indictment against Trump just over a year ago, They will argue that the ledger entries and other business documents that Trump created, claiming that he was paying his lawyer, Michael Cohen, for legal services, when in reality, he was repaying him for the $130,000 check he delivered to Daniels, were felonies under New York law. Now, Michael Cohen will verify that that's what the money was for. Now they'll say, well, Michael Cohen, he's a liar. He's been in jail. Yeah, he lied and he was put in jail because he was lying and doing Donald Trump's bidding. So that's really not an explanation. Now, the core is not money for sex, Bragg told New York's public radio. We would say it's about conspiring to corrupt a presidential election and then lying in New York business records to cover it up. See, that's the thing we keep hearing about this hush money thing, but it's far more serious than that. It certainly rises to the level of felonies. And that's where Donald Trump is going to have a problem. Something we've always talked about is that it's a documents case. So it's not somebody saying, well, he could have done this, or he should have done that, or he might have done this. It's all in fucking documentation with his signature on it. So it's going to be hard to defend something like that. Now, Trump's campaign did not respond to Huffington Post inquiries about this report. He has primarily argued on social media and in his campaign speeches that the case was brought to hurt his efforts to regain the presidency, another piece of the witch hunt that he claims the deep state is conducting against him. I'd like just once to meet somebody who's in the deep state. Who would that be? Who would be classified as a deep stater? I love how they create these boogeymen out of whole cloth. They don't exist. And then they push it down people's throats, and hopefully they'll believe it. Now, the base for Donald Trump will believe fucking anything. It's kind of like when Mike Johnson went down to Mar-a-Lago, and they were talking about election integrity, and they were going to fight against people who aren't citizens from voting in the election. Which is ironic because it's already against the law. Why do you have to fight against that? What are you going to create another law? And how are you going to do that when you don't have the majority in the House after the election and Donald Trump isn't president? It's all pretty fucking silly. Now, Donald Trump repeated those claims Friday during a brief news conference. He said, it's not even a crime. It's very unfair that we have this judge who hates Trump. Oh, just don't pound it off onto the judge. Donnie, everybody fucking hates you, except the small percentage of mouth breathers that follow you as if you're Jesus. It's unclear precisely how long the trial will take or last. Some people think it'll take through June, maybe early July. It's really impossible to say. But to be perfectly honest with you, if I've heard correctly, there's maybe 10 witnesses on the prosecution side, and so far, just one or two on the defense side. I mean, who are they going to get? Who's going to come in and speak up for Donald Trump and risk being charged with perjury? You saw that Alvin Bragg charged Ellen Weisselberg a second time, well, the first time with perjury, and a second time going to jail. And it was kind of interesting that he did it when he did it. It's kind of a message to upcoming witnesses in this trial. You come up here, you tell a lie, you're going to jail, motherfucker. And I think his point is well taken. I think people are going to be a little nervous about the prospect of lying for Donald Trump on the stand. Now, Juan Marchand, the judge, in an April 8 letter to prosecutors and defense lawyers, noted the logistical challenges involved in trying a former president and a presumptive major party nominee who travels with substantial Secret Service detail. In a case where security concerns are implicated every time anyone enters or exits the courtroom or mingles around the corridors, moving the entire jury panel is no simple task. Bragg's filing accompanying the indictment lays out the plan that Trump and his ally, David Pecker, publisher of the National Enquirer, developed a catch-and-kill story that could hurt Trump's presidential campaign. That's what they did. They'd buy stories and then they wouldn't print it. They'd pay the person off $150,000 or something like that, and they just wouldn't print the story. And that is problematic. And what's interesting is this David Pecker, Donald Trump's buddy, the publisher of the National Enquirer, he is one of the witnesses for the prosecution. Yeah, I'm thinking he's not going to risk his freedom by lying about Donald Trump or lying for Donald Trump. Now, the scheme also involved paying off a doorman at Trump building who claimed Trump had fathered a child outside his marriages, as well as a Playboy model, Karen McDougal, who also claimed she had an affair with Trump in 2006 and 2007. Now, people will say, isn't that outside the statute of limitations? I mean, that's a long time ago. Yeah, it probably would be. But unfortunately, the cover-up came in 2015 and 2016. So that re-upped the statute of limitations, and that's why they're still looking into it. If he could have just let it go and not paid her and prayed that she didn't say anything, it wouldn't be a problem. It just goes to show that Donald Trump is truly paranoid. He thinks everybody's out to get him. Everybody hates him. Well, that last one is true. Most everybody of above average intelligence does hate Donald Trump. How could you not? Somebody trying to overthrow the country. Now, neither of those payments, though, were made by Cohen, and the actual indictment only involves Trump's reimbursement to him. And that's where the sticking point is. He had Michael Cohen pay it, and then he paid Michael Cohen. But Michael Cohen is a witness for the defense as well. He's already been to jail for this activity, so we know what happened was illegal. And as long as they can prove that Donald Trump was paying him for the reason of reimbursement for the money he paid to Stormy Daniels or Karen McDougal, they got him cold. He's fucking done. And I don't think Alvin Bragg would have brought this to court unless he seemed really sure that he had the goods and he was going to make his case and convict Donald Trump. I mean, Alvin Bragg has a conviction rate of 98%. There are 34 felony charges. I mean, if Alvin Bragg has a bad day and only gets a third of these convictions, we're still talking about 12 convictions, which is devastating to Donald Trump and his political career, not to mention his business career. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Well, we're going to stay on the trial for a bit. That's the big news. That's the excitement. Everybody's excited about this, at least everybody that's not a Trump fan. The Trump fans, they're probably having a little problem with it. It's really easy to say, you know, he'll never get indicted. He'll never be prosecuted. He'll never get convicted. Well, he got indicted. He's being prosecuted as of today. And we're just waiting now for the conviction. I'm going to be interested to see what they say when he finally does get convicted. Everything they've ever said that's not going to happen to Donald Trump has happened. He didn't get back into office in August of 21 like they guaranteed he would. It's just so silly. You would think after a period of time that they would get tired of being wrong all the time. Now, the one guy that's losing his shit, figuratively and literally, of course, is Donald Trump. Old dirty diaper Donnie Trump. And Trump was kind of losing it yesterday. He was a little upset. He was ranting and raving, as he does. Now, on Sunday evening, Trump took to his Truth Social platform to offer a preamble to Monday's events and began by waxing almost morose as he reflected on where he was 4 years ago versus where he'll be today. Per his ongoing pattern, Trump claimed that President Joe Biden is using the legal system as a weapon against him, saying that the DA and the judge are corrupt and conflicted, respectively, and that Biden's henchmen are rigging the system, which is really hard to imagine because this is a state case, not a federal case. He might have some sway if he was talking about a federal court, and federal charges. And they're going to come, and he'll say his piece then. But right now, this is about the state of New York. Joe Biden has no authority over the state of New York. But Donnie Trump's got a rant. He's got a cry. He's got to claim victimhood. And he's got to blame somebody. So he's going to blame Joe Biden. Just 4 years ago, I was a very popular and successful president of the United States, getting more votes than any sitting president in history. You notice what he does there? In the 2020 election, Joe Biden got more votes than any candidate in presidential history. Donald Trump got 74 million, and yes, at that time, he got the most votes of any sitting president. Not any candidate, because Joe got that, any sitting president. So he's trying to make things look good and impressive, so he fudges a little bit. Yes, he got the most votes of any sitting president, but Joe Biden had more, a lot more, 7 million votes more. Now, if Donald Trump actually ends up being the nominee in this particular election, he will probably have the distinction of being the downside of the biggest landslide in the history of this country. And I'm going to be interested to see how he deals with that. He continued to write, tomorrow morning, he did this yesterday, I'll be in a criminal court before a totally conflicted judge, a corrupt prosecutor, a legal system in chaos, a state being overrun by violent crime and corruption, and crooked Joe Biden's henchmen rigging the system against his political opponent, me, in capital letters and an exclamation point. Now, Trump naturally argued that it is not just him on trial for allegedly paying off porn star Stormy Daniels to hide the affair and funneling the money through former fixer Michael Cohen, but all of America is on trial. No, bitch, I don't even know Stormy Daniels, and most of these people don't either. No, it's all about you, Donnie. You can try to make it about everybody else, but it's just fucking not. He went on to say, I'll be fighting for myself, but much more importantly, I will be fighting for our country. Election interference like this has never happened in the USA before, and hopefully it'll never happen again. Well, probably won't happen again because nobody's going to vote for you again to become president, and hopefully they'll keep out anybody like you. He goes on to say, we are now a nation in serious decline, a failing nation, but we will soon be a great nation again. November 5th will be the most important day in history of the United States. He concluded with slightly more enthusiasm, going back to all caps to write, MAGA 2024. See you tomorrow. Boy, that boy is scared. He is fucking terrified. And he's confused, too. You know, the thing about it is what I've said about narcissists. They're used to being able to bully their way through, wiggle their way around, get bailed out by somebody. None of that is working now. He's experiencing something he's never experienced before, and he's not going to get out of this. He's going to be tried. He's going to be convicted. Then it's going to be interesting to see what he tries to do at that point. But I think a lot of people are going to step away from him. They're not going to want to be close to a guy who's is a convicted felon. And it'll just be very interesting. Now, I heard something. I saw this on TikTok. I don't know if it's true. I tried to research it. I got no verification that it's true. It's one of those things that could be true. But since nobody's talking about it, I tend to believe it's not. But somebody posted something on TikTok that says a certain number of states around the country do not allow anybody with a felony conviction to be on the ballot. It's not a federal thing. It's a state thing. And those states include Wyoming, Arizona, Iowa, Kentucky, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. Well, a lot of these are smaller states, but I got to tell you what, if it's possible, and it does happen, and they pull Arizona and Florida out of the mix, Donald Trump is guaranteed done. Again, I don't know if that's true. If any of you know that, please send me an email. Let me know what the real thing is. Because like I say, I saw it on TikTok, and then I tried to investigate it, tried to Google that shit, and I really found no information that suggests that's true. I mean, it's conceivable, it's possible, But if that were happening, I would think we'd hear more about it. All right, now following a string of courthouse losses that have cost Donald Trump hundreds of millions in fines, the former president will finally enter a courtroom Monday to face 34 felony charges. We know this. Now, on the day before the former president will attend the beginning of this so-called hush money yesterday, he has to be thinking about a week from today, too. And a week from today is when they have the hearing about this bond. Now, he had a 10-day extension, and he posted a smaller bond, $175 million, so that he could keep Letitia James off his doorstep, keep her from seizing and liquidating his properties. That's what that was for. Unfortunately, when he posted the bond, it quickly became clear that this person who posted the bond wasn't really qualified to do it, wasn't licensed to do it in the state, and didn't have enough money to qualify. So now, a week from today, they are going to get together, and the judge is going to have this hearing to try to determine whether or not this bond is legit. And almost certainly they're going to realize and they're going to find that it is not legitimate. And then when they do, what I'm interested to find out is what happens next. Theoretically, what should happen is he had 10 days to post the bond. He attempted to post a bullshit bond. He was trying to scam the state. And when that bond didn't post, theoretically, his stuff must be up for grabs right now. And, you know, maybe at some point, Letitia James starts grabbing shit even before next Monday. But I have a feeling she's going to wait for next Monday just so everything is in order. 1 week isn't a big deal. And when they get there, they're going to determine if Donald Trump did the right thing. And we know Donald Trump, he never fucking does the right thing. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, in terms of the trial going on today, there's going to be a lot of things that come out of this trial, information and evidence and witnesses that are going to be embarrassing for Donald Trump. And that is troublesome for him. He's probably more worried about what he's going to be embarrassed by than he is at the prospect of being convicted and going to jail. Seriously, he's a narcissist. Embarrassment is the one thing that is devastating to any narcissist. And Donald Trump, you know, if he can't continue to portray himself as smart, strong, rich, powerful, and all those things, he's going to lose his shit, because that's what narcissists do. They go into self-destruct mode. They start doing anything and everything, and they start creating problems and making big mistakes. Now, according to the report, the Manhattan prosecution presents distinctive threats. For now, it is the only case on track to conclude before Election Day, but there still may be some others. Now, as Trump has managed to bog down the others in delays and appeals, and even if Mr. Trump wins back the White House, he could not pardon himself for the Manhattan charges as he could in the two federal cases he's facing. Adding to that, the trial testimony could tend to lurid information that is going to freak him out. Now, This case is full of mortifying personal details. There's a porn star who said she had sex with him, the former Trump fixer who paid her off, and the tabloid publisher who helped him bury all the manners of scurrilous stories. You see where this is going. This is going to be salacious. And you know how people love stuff that's salacious. And the big difference here, you know, these will be stories we've heard before, but all the Trumplefucks have been able to say, well, that's on CNN. That's all fake news. That's on MSNB. That's fake MSNBC. That's all fake news. But this will be coming directly out of a courtroom. The evidence will be revealed. The witnesses, there's no way to really spin that. And they're going to have to accept it. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do and how they accept it. Now, fears of how the trial plays out also has Trump considering taking the stand, based in part how former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen's testimony plays out under harsh questioning. Yeah, they're going to go after Michael Cohen, the defense is, but Michael Cohen's a lawyer in his own right. I think he can probably handle himself. Donald Trump said, yeah, I'm going to testify. Well, Donald Trump says that a lot. He never follows through with that. He said he was going to testify in the January 6th committee's hearings. He never did. The likelihood of him testifying in this hearing has got to be slim. Some people are suggesting that his wife is pushing him to do it because she's embarrassed by this thing. And she should be embarrassed. The Republicans love to give Hillary Clinton shit about Bill Clinton's behavior and his cheating. How is this different from Melania? It's not. So whatever could be said about Hillary Clinton certainly could be said about Melania. And that's driving her nuts. She's all over Donald Trump's ass. And some think she might be forcing him to testify, whether he wants to or not. And since Donald Trump is a pussy-ass bitch, well, he might. Now, in the courtroom, however, it's been a little while since Trump has won any major victory. That's the amazing thing. Everybody says, well, he's going to appeal. He's going to do this. Well, when's the last time he won an appeal? He hasn't won an appeal in years. Certainly not one of any importance. And he's not going to win here. And that's, you know, that's the other thing you've got to think about. Once he is convicted, he will try to appeal it. I mean, if he's got any money to do it. But that's okay. People think he has to be in jail to end Donald Trump, and that's not true. The conviction itself will do it. It will affect people who are willing to vote for him. It'll affect his personal reputation. It will affect his ways of getting money. And that's enough for now. If he doesn't go to jail till after the election, I don't really care. We need that conviction. We need that bond revoked. And that's all that really needs to be done to take down Donald Trump. He will be broke. They'll be liquidating his shit. And he would be a convicted felon. And he's running for the presidency. Ain't going to work very well. Now, I saw a video of this, and it's absolutely appalling to me. I can't believe this kind of thing. This particular politician wants us to take him seriously, and I don't know how he expects us to do that. Now, on ABC, George Stephanopoulos grilled New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu for supporting Donald Trump after attacking him during the primaries. These fucks have no integrity. He wanted his favorite to win, so he attacked Donald Trump. Now that he's a presumptive nominee, now he's going to be back on his bandwagon, which is a bad move, a bad political move. Now, during a Sunday interview on ABC's This Week program, Stephanopoulos asked Sununu if he would support Trump even if he is convicted in a criminal trial. While supporting Nikki Haley earlier, Sununu had said Trump should drop out if convicted. Excuse me. That's what he said. Now, this morning, history being made, tomorrow that criminal trial will your support for Donald Trump continue if he's convicted in Manhattan, said Stephanopoulos. This is what Sununu said. Yeah, look, this trial's not going to have major political ramifications that a lot of people, I think may have, Sununu scoffed. When it comes to these issues, people see it more as reality TV at this point. Really? You said that if he's convicted of a crime, he should drop out. Then when your gal, Nikki Haley, drops out, now you're back on board with Donald Trump. For fuck's sake. That's embarrassing. Stephanopoulos went on to point out, well, yeah, you're going to politics, though I'm asking you about right and wrong. You're comfortable with the idea of supporting someone who's convicted of a federal crime as president? Then he started stammering a bit. Sununu said, well, I don't think any American is comfortable with any of this. But I mean, when it comes to actually looking at each of these trials as they kind of take place, whether it's this year or next year, as they kind of line up the right now. This is about an election. Nice try. You're trying to spin it. You're trying to distract, divert. Not going to work, Sununu. And when it doesn't work and Donald Trump goes down in flames, good luck in your next election, because it's going to come up and you're going to be exposed for the sycophant piece of shit you are. Remember, just a short time ago, he was thinking about being president and he was trying to come off as a normal, reasonable person. And some people were even buying into that. But now we see what's really true. They can put on that act, but deep down in their heart, their dark little soul, they are Trumplafucks at the core. He said, look, nobody should be shocked at the Republican governor supporting the Republican president. He said, it is clear that President Trump's rhetoric and actions contributed to the insurrection. Stephanopoulos pressed. And then he said this. He said something that was interesting. He said, yeah, I support Donald Trump like 51% of this country. Please, motherfucker, that's not true. You're just spewing bullshit. So he's trying to say, well, maybe I look stupid for supporting Donald Trump, but 51% of the rest of the country does too, so I'm good. Well, 51% of the country does not support Donald Trump, and you will get a wake-up call on November 5th. Like I said, Donald Trump, if he is the nominee, and I'm not convinced he will be, if he is, he's going to get his ass whipped, absolutely whipped. But this shows you what we're dealing with when we're talking about Republicans. When this election is over, they're going to have to find some reasonably minded Republicans, real Republicans that are conservative. And I don't know that there are any. They've all been co-opted by Donald Trump. They've all been sucked in by the bullshit. They've all stood by Donald Trump. And if they've done that once, can you ever believe them? Can you ever trust them? Of course not. You can't. You just fucking can't. This next story is about a slimy fuck. I haven't heard from him in a long time. I thought he was gone. I don't know. But Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, he went after Speaker Mike Johnson, believe it or not, on Sunday for forcing a tie vote against an amendment of a controversial spy bill upsetting some of the most conservative Republicans. Now, conservatives and progressives teamed up to demand an amendment for the reauthorization of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, last week, which would have required a warrant for government spying on Americans. Seems reasonable. The amendment vote came to a tie after Johnson's vote against it, tanking the change. Now, Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong, Paul said. He broke the tie. He voted with Democrats. Here we have a leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have a Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package once again with the majority of the Democrats. As I see it now, I'm not so sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. Oh, there's a big difference. Because if it was Hakeem Jeffries, things would be running properly as opposed to being a shit show that we now have. Now, the FISA amendment vote was bipartisan, with 86 Republicans, including Johnson, and 126 Democrats voting against it. Rand Paul, a libertarian-minded conservative, was a major Senate backer of the FISA amendment. Now, despite an endorsement from former President Donald Trump over the weekend, the vote infuriated most conservative members of Congress and added to rising dissent against Johnson. Question is, are they going to put him up for a vote of no confidence and kick his ass out? Well, I hope they get the Ukraine bill and Israeli bill and this other stuff worked out before they do that, because if we don't have a Speaker of the House, literally nothing can be done, which isn't a departure from what we've had for the 2 years that these fucks have been in office, or a year and a half. They haven't done much anyway. But if something comes up that we need to get done, we need a Speaker of the House. Now, Rand Paul called on Johnson to do more to win his confidence. Paul said, Johnson hasn't held his ground. He has power. He has a majority. Use the power of the purse. Speaker Johnson, do something to make us think you are different than the Democrats. But so far, I don't see a lot of difference. Now, after the vote Friday, some FISA amendment hardliners said they're ready to travel to GOP districts to campaign against those who tanked the amendment. See, don't you just love this? They spend so much time fighting amongst themselves, they're not even paying attention to the Democrats. This is one of the many reasons I think they don't have a fucking prayer in November. They're not unified. They don't have a plan. They have no money. Donald Trump has pretty much drained the RNC, so not only the presidency, but the down ballot candidates don't have any support from the RNC. Now, of course, Matt Gaetz had to stick his nose in this. Every one of these members who voted against a warrant requirement, they are the deciding vote. They own it. And some of them may see me showing up in their districts. Oh, no, hide the 12-year-old girls very soon to campaign against them and to stand for the Constitution. You know, that's the funny fucking thing about it. Matt Gaetz really thinks he's somebody, and he's hanging by a thread. He'd be kicked out right now if the margin wasn't so small in the Republican side. Now, when the Democrats win, you get Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz, you're going to see those motherfuckers get run out on a rail. The broader FISA package passed the House easily after the amendment failed. As a final act of protest, dissenters delayed the bill's movement to the House until next week, this week. Somebody filed a motion to reconsider, so they're going to have to do that, turn that down, and then they'll finally send it to the Senate, get it passed, and we'll be okay by the April 19th deadline. All right. We've got what's going on with Israel and Iran. People need to understand what's going on there. People think, oh, World War III is starting. That's not really what happened. First of all, Israel bombed an embassy in Syria, Iran's embassy. So Iran has to save face by making a return attack. They sent, 300 drones into Israel. But to give you an idea how serious they were about it, they told them they were going to do it. They warned them ahead of time. And then when the drones got there between UK and the U.S., they pretty much shot down every drone that came into Israel. There were a couple that got through, and there was some minor damage, but nobody was hurt. This was just a face-saving deal for Iran. Now, the question is whether Israel is going to respond. And all they would be doing is responding to a response. The only reason it's up for question is because Benjamin Netanyahu is a crazy fucker a la Donald Trump. Now, Israel's war cabinet met on Sunday. They didn't come up with a decision on how Israel will respond to Iran's attack. The government is determined to take action, and military has been asked to provide options. Now, here's the deal about that. After this happened, and after Iran attacked Israel, Joe Biden said, listen, man, if you come back at these fuckers and start something bigger, we're not helping you. We're not in this. We're not going to be a part of it. And that's part of the reason why they didn't make a decision yesterday. They don't want to take too many chances because as much as they're a little crazy, they don't want to piss off Joe Biden. They don't want to lose the support that the United States gives them. Now, Joe Biden and members of the national security team seeking to contain the risk of a wider war have told their counterparts the U.S. will not participate in any offensive action against Iran. And that hit home with them. Tehran's retaliatory attack had been anticipated since a suspected Israeli strike on Iranian diplomatic complex in Syria earlier this month. Tit for tat. A pissing contest, if you will. It's not World War III, and it's not going to turn into World War III. But it's like I said before, this is all part of a bigger plan. Hamas is fighting Israel. Hamas is supported by Iran. Iran is supported by Russia. And Donnie Trump's best buddies with Vladimir Putin. Interesting, isn't it? All right, the dual burdens of funding an expensive presidential campaign combined with funneling enormous amounts of cash to pay his legal teams attempting to keep him out of jail is creating some bumps in the road for Donnie T. And he's already talking about a running mate. I had to laugh when I heard him talking about getting a running mate. You know, Donnie, I think I would focus on what's in front of you. I would focus on this court case. Because I got to believe if you get 10 or 15 or even 30 convictions, the list of possible decent vice presidential candidates is going to thin out. Who's going to want to hang with you or be part of your campaign if you're a convicted felon? I don't think that's going to be an issue. To add to the considerations over what the number two person on the ballot with former president brings to the table with regards to voters is Trump's desperate need for campaign cash because he's trailing his opponent. Now, according to a report from the New York Times, Michael Bender, the former president is asking advisors who best can bring their own collection of donors and patrons with them for what could be the most expensive presidential campaign ever. It may be the most expensive, but you ain't got no money, motherfucker. Now, according to campaign insiders, Mr. Trump has asked several people about the fundraising prowess of possible running mates. It is also unclear among Mr. Trump's advisors whether he ultimately intends to give considerable weight to a contender's fundraising ability. Well, of course he is. That's all he cares about is the money. Or whether his recent focus is a consequence of his overall concerns about cash. That fixation has permeated both his presidential bid and his costly legal defense, his four criminal cases, and further blurred line between the two. Now, there have been some people he's talked about. One potential candidate who's shown the ability to raise money, former Governor Nikki Haley. That would be a good move. He told Nikki Haley's voters, don't even come over here. We don't need you. That was a dumb move, but that's so typical of Donald Trump. Maybe Nikki Haley. I don't know that Nikki Haley would accept that. I think she understands how this is all going to shake out, and she doesn't need to go into this particular election and lose. That would taint her for any future plans. Now, the report points out to some people he is said to have shown indifference when asked about Nikki Haley joining his ticket. The report adds if fundraising concerns further influence his vice presidential search, that path could lead toward a pair of former Republican presidential primary opponents, Doug Burgum of North Dakota. Now, Doug is the most one-dimensional, stupid piece of shit I've ever seen. He's just another billionaire that wants a little fame. He didn't do well in the primary, and he's not going to bring much to the table other than maybe a little bit of money. They've also talked about Elise Stefanik of New York and Senators Marco Rubio, Tim Scott of South Carolina, and J.D. Vance of Ohio. Yeah, none of those are going to be helpful to him. Now, the report notes that Rubio as a running mate would be problematic since he and Trump live in the same state, which raises constitutional questions, and that Trump has suggested that Florida senator could simply pack up his family and move out of state, with Bender adding, Mr. Trump has told these people that it would probably be difficult for Mr. Rubio to move his family, but that Florida voters would be too upset to lose the former president as a resident. Yeah, it's not going to be Marco Rubio. He's not a strong candidate. There were a couple of other candidates that were mentioned, and I find these kind of interesting. First was Tulsi Gabbard. Now, Tulsi might fit the bill for him. She's younger, she's pretty, and she's a Democrat. Well, that would be a shoe-in for Donald Trump, but can she fundraise? I don't think so. She might have gone farther in this whole race for the presidency if she had the ability to fundraise. I mean, let's be honest, most people don't like that crazy bitch, so I don't think it will be her. Now, the last one I heard and there's no way to know if this is legitimate or serious, but I'm sure it's under consideration. It would be Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, I said it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Kind of makes sense because he's a Democrat, he's a Kennedy, and he's got a vice presidential candidate that's got all kinds of money. You bring him in, make him the vice presidential candidate, tell her she's going to be Secretary of State, she brings her money, and maybe that could work. And I would love to see that for a couple of reasons. First of all, that would resolve the third party concern. That would get him off a third party ticket and get him under the guise of Donald Trump and the Republicans. Secondly, he is a crazy conspiracy theorist. He's just fucking nuts. And anytime there's an election, the Democrats love it when there's a crazy Trump-la-fuck candidate. So that might work. I don't know if Robert F. Kennedy would be willing to do that. I think he would do pretty much anything to get some power. And I think Donald Trump might look at him. And I hope he does, because that would fix one problem for the Democrats. Now, that said, I've said all along that I don't think Robert F. Kennedy takes enough votes away from Joe Biden to even be a factor. I think he might be more of a problem for the Republicans just based on his ideology. He's more in line with Donald Trump and the Republicans. So it might be a good move to him. I hope they do. I think it would be hilarious. Now we've got two crazy fucks, two dumb fucks that we can make fun of leading up to the election. All right. We are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day. I hope you have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, and tomorrow we'll be recording in Georgia. So the TikToks and the podcast will be coming from Savannah, Georgia for a few days. Have yourself a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.